Internet Talk Radio, Flame of the Internet.
This is Geek of the Week, and we're talking to Stuart Vance, who's Vice President of Engineering at TGV. Welcome to Geek of the Week, Stuart.
Thank you, Carl.
Your company makes TCP/IP and NFS software for VMS operating system-based machines. I've always been curious, what happens if DEC starts doing the same thing, bundles it into their operating system? Does that just wipe you out of that market? Are you gone?
Well, DEC, in fact, does have a TCP/IP product for VMS that they sell. DEC TCP/IP services for open VMS. It's kind of a mouthful. And we have been a bit worried about whether they might actually bundle it in with their operating system. They have not as of yet. And while we're concerned about it, I wouldn't say that we're overly so. We have a very good product. It's been around for a long time. I mean, the history of Multinet goes back to 82. In fact, Multinet was one of the first dual NCP-TCP stacks on the Internet, period. Back then, I guess it was actually just the ARPANET. DEC's product is much newer. It hasn't really stood the test of time. And I think that DEC is discovering with their product that it might be easy to play in a small environment, but playing in the Internet itself and providing all of the requisite services that people require for the Internet is a lot harder than it looks perhaps on paper.
The reason I ask is because, as you know, there's many giants in this industry. There's Microsoft, and there's many small companies competing with Microsoft. Do you think small companies like yours are able to compete with the giants by being quicker, faster, better?
It certainly helps to be nimble. One of the reasons why we've been able to be successful is when we've seen an opportunity, we've been able to jump on it quickly. Whereas with companies that are the billion-dollar companies out there, they have big feet, and it takes a lot longer for them to get them moving. Of course, the one danger of that for a small company is that companies with big feet tend to leave a lot of flattened toes. So,
no doubt about it.
But I think it is clear that if you look at, in particular, the PC companies, certainly Microsoft could have come in a long time ago and done their own TCP/IP or bought one of the smaller companies and started selling their product. But I think that, in particular in the case of Microsoft, they've recognized the advantage of having these small innovative companies out there providing really good software. So I actually rather applaud that in certain companies.
You spend a lot of your time when you're not actually doing your job going over to Interop and helping set up the show network there. In fact, you're part of the core team of this fanatical band of volunteers that puts this huge network together. Why do you do that?
That's a really good question, and I'm not sure that I can give you a particularly coherent answer on it. I've been doing it myself since 89, which I guess was the second or third Interop. And we've had a couple of other people at TGV who've been working, who are working on the current show, in fact, and who have been working on Interop since then. I guess what keeps bringing me back is the collection of people. It's not so much that we're doing it out of the goodness of our heart, but it is fun working with technology that, for example, I personally don't get the chance to work with much here at TGV.
Is this a particularly sophisticated network that you're putting together or particularly large scale? Is that why you do it?
I guess that's partly it. I used to work at a large land-grant institution, as we used to call it, a big university in Texas, which had a very large network, 70 buildings on a broadband network. But the thing that's most impressive about Interop is the fact that the network is staged over the course of 2 to 3 weeks. And then when we actually move into the facility and put it up, it takes about 12 hours. And we end up mobilizing anywhere from 100 to 150 people with a core group of about 12 to 15 people. And basically, there's just this incredibly monumental effort to put together a network that's used basically for 3 days. I guess there's some sort of there's a sort of morbid fascination at this. It's always somewhat disheartening when you actually sit down and realize that you've just put a significant portion of your life, well, perhaps in terms of energy output, to put together something that 3 days later you're going to rip out of the ceiling and perhaps not throw away, but spool up and store away for later. There's something kind of strange about it, but I guess what keeps bringing me back and the people at TGV is the collection of people that Interop has put together for their NOC team, which is what they call this core group. There are people from a variety of different companies, from large system manufacturers, from consultants, from software companies like ourselves, and the collection of people is truly amazing. There are software engineers, there are hardware engineers, there are cable pullers, and it's a really great group of people to work with.
It sounds like fun. As I've learned doing this a couple times just on the weekends, I want to turn back to software and protocols and things on the internet. You work in a company that uses VMS a lot, and as you know, most of the internet is somewhat Unix-centric. Do you see that Unix-centric approach hurting the internet? Is there something that can be done to change that? Are the protocols too Unix-y?
Well, Unix is clearly the most predominant operating system in use on the internet, so it's hard to say one way or the other whether it's hurting the internet. It certainly causes us grief every now and then because there's a lot of public domain software written that can grok Unix quite well, but when it comes to anything else, it just the translation doesn't work so well. We certainly find ourselves in the minority in terms of supporting VMS. At times, we find ourselves, I don't want to say the subject of abuse, but that's what it borders on. VMS is looked at times with scorn by many Unix advocates out there. But our whole goal is to be able to integrate VMS in particular, Unix, to provide all the normal services and functionality to be able to allow the two to communicate bidirectionally, such that a person on a Unix system would never even be able to tell that he's talking with a VMS system.
And you're able to do that?
We get pretty close.
Pretty close. And you think someone with Windows NT or OS 2 or some of these other operating systems, the Macintosh, is going to be able to do the same thing?
I don't think so. There are a number of common concepts between VMS and Unix that you don't really get with things like NT and the Macintosh. Yeah, they all pretty much have hierarchical file systems, but in terms of a multitasking operating system, in terms of a concept of what a user is, what a file is, in the Macintosh and Windows NT world, it's very different. In fact, I think people are going to discover as NT becomes more and more popular, and people in particular start looking at NT as a server platform, they're going to realize that it's going to take a new style of thinking to adapt servers to the NT environment because it doesn't have the same concept of a user that you get with VMS and Unix.
Your software is often used for an application which has puzzled me a bit, and that is creating DECnet tunnels. You encapsulate DECnet packets inside of TCP/IP packets, move them over a TCP/IP network to some other place, decapsulate them, turn them back into a DECnet packet. Why would anybody do this? Why don't you just run a multi-protocol routers, for example, or do away with one of the networks?
Well, it's kind of interesting. We first did DECnet over IP largely on, I don't know if I'd necessarily say it was a dare, but someone told Ken Adelman, one of our founders, that it couldn't be done, that you could not do DECnet over IP tunneling. Ken, of course, really, really hates being told that he can't do something, so he set out to prove the guy wrong. He developed the software. As it turns out, it's been very useful in use in the Internet, in particular by NASA. NASA runs a very large DECnet network, formerly called SPAN, the Space Physics Analysis Network, currently I believe called NSI/DECnet. And basically these guys need to be able to provide DECnet to some of the far reaches of the internet. Well, it's not really practical in many cases to establish a dedicated DECnet line from one of the NASA hub sites to a small college somewhere or to a research facility. And when you look at how these folks are connected anyway, they've already got an internet link. But the internet itself, of course, doesn't run DECnet. So being able to tunnel DECnet over the internet backbone to be able to reach into some of these smaller sites saves you a tremendous amount of money in extra line cost in terms of potentially having to swap out one router vendor for another if the the existing router vendor doesn't support DECnet. There are quite a number of economies of scale that you can achieve by using this existing infrastructure. And NASA has definitely been one of our largest supporters in that area. Now, as it turns out, one of the other big uses that we've seen for running DECnet over IP are in certain campus environments where they do not allow anything else on their campus backbone aside from IP.
You're listening to Geek of the Week. Support for this program is provided by Sun Microsystems. Sun Microsystems, open systems for open minds. Additional support for Geek of the Week comes from O'Reilly & Associates, publishers of books that help people get more out of computers.